Mesechtas Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik, 13 lines from the bottom of that Pei Tesem and Beis. And before we continue with the Gemara, let's review two important points. First of all, we had a machlekes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Echron if Kinya Peris is Kekinya Gov, as Rabbi Echron states, or as Reish Lakish states, Kinya Peris is Lav Kekinya Gov. This question is relevant in a case, for example, where Reuven owns an asset, which is a field or a house. Shimon owns the rights to the income or the Peris or the rent of this field or the house. Rabbi Echron holds that Kinya Peris is Kekinya Gov. Since Shimon owns the Peris of this asset, therefore he's considered the primary owner of this asset. This is the Shita of Rabbi Echron, and Reish Lakish holds that Reuven is considered the primary owner of this asset, as Kinya Peris is Lav Kekinya Gov Tami. And as we stated before, this is one of the three places in Mashas where the machlek is between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Echron, and we paskin like Reish Lakish that Kinya Peris is Lav Kekinya Gov. We also saw on that Pei Chesam Beis that Amr Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Pe'usha Eskinu, Isha Shemachu, B'nichsim Lulub, that even though generally we may hold like Reish Lakish that Kinya Peris is Lav Kekinya Gov Tami, therefore since when a woman brings Nichsei Melug into a marriage, she is considered the owner of the guf of the kaka or of this asset, and the husband is considered the owner of the peris of the kaka. Therefore, since we hold that Kinya Peris is Lav Kekinya Gov Tami, really Rachel should have the ability to sell this asset even though her husband is still alive. Even though certainly if Rachel sells this asset to Shimon, then certainly Shimon would not be able to use the peris of the kaka and wouldn't have rights to this asset until the point that Reuven and Rachel are no longer married, either because Reuven divorces Rachel or because Reuven dies and predeceases Rachel. In that case, certainly at this point, Rachel now owns the guf kaka and she also has the right to the peris of the kaka. And since Shimon bought the rights to this asset from Rachel, therefore at this point, Shimon would own the entire asset. However, l'chayra, even in a case where Rachel predeceases Reuven, and generally, as we know, a husband yashins and inherits his wife, and therefore he should really yashin his property. However, since we hold like Reish Lakish that Kinya Peris is Lav Kekinya Gov Tami, therefore while Reuven and Rachel were married, certainly Rachel had the right to sell this asset as Kinya Peris is Lav Kekinya Gov Tami, and therefore the Kinya Gov belonged completely to Rachel. Now that Reuven dies, therefore Reuven no longer has any right to the Peris. Therefore, even in this case, Shimon should have a right to this Kaka as he already purchased his property subject to Reuven or Rachel dying or now not being married for any reason. In Usher, they created a takana and they stated that a husband has a stronger kinyan in his wife's nichsei melug. As Rashi stated on that pei chesam beis, baal b'nichsei ishtoi amur rabban l'shibudei mishum eva v'havel k'lekeach rishon. Since Rachel predeceased Reuven, therefore we look at Reuven as if he's the lekeach rishon. Therefore, once Rachel dies, Reuven will actually own this asset and her sale to Shimon will actually not be valid. As we previously mentioned, ayin entices ad that pei chesam beis as to why Rabbi Echron would require the takana if L'chay Rabbi Echron holds in all cases Kinyan Peris have a Kinyan Guf, and therefore even without Takanas Usha, L'chay Rachel's sale to Shimon should be null and void, because at the time that she sold it to Shimon, Reuven already had Kinyan Peris, and Kinyan Peris according to Rabbi Echron is Kinyan Guf. As we saw in that Pei Tesem Aleph, there are a popular of Hunan Radio Rabbi Shua wanted to prove, although we brought down Takanas Usha from a Brisa and from a Beis Yerubinah, they wanted to prove from our Mishnah that our Mishnah also held of the Takanas Usha, and this was based on the Mishnah that stated that every ishta pekiyasin ra hachoyu ben chayev v'him shechol b'achirim p'turin. But as we saw, that ultimately the Gemara slugged up this raya, and our Gemara now continues leima takanas usha tanoi. Let us say that this takanas usha is actually machlekes tanoim. The Gemara will bring two different brises and try to say that the machlekes in these two brises is if we hold the takanas usha or if we don't hold the takanas usha. And then the Gemara will actually bring three different ways to understand this brisa. Therefore, we would not be able to bring a raya from this brisa that they're being chilek as to takanas. And the Gemara brings down two brises, the Tanach Chada, as we have one brise that states, Avdi Malug Yotzim Mishim Ba'ayin L'Isha Avaloy L'Ish. If Rachel brings an Eved Kenani into their marriage, and as we know, since this was categorized as Nichsei Malug, therefore Rachel is considered the owner of the Guf of the Eved Kenani. Her husband Reuven has a right to the Peiris of the Eved Kenani while they're married, and we also know that Eved Kenani goes out L'Chiris Mishim Ba'ayin if an owner knocks out his tooth or his eye. Brisa teaches us that if the Eved Kenani's eye or tooth is knocked out by the wife, then he will go out free. However, if it's knocked out by the husband, then the Eved Kenani will not go out free. Therefore, we see that this brisa holds that the wife is considered the actual owner of this Eved Kenani, even though her husband has the right to use the Eved Kenani while they're married, and he has the right to the peiris of the Eved Kenani. And that is why, if she knocks out his eye or tooth, so the Eved Kenani will go out free. However, this Tana held that since Reuven only has the rights to the peiris of the Eved Kenani, therefore, if he knocks out the eye or tooth of the Eved Kenani, the Eved Kenani would not go out free. And Vitanya Idach, and we have another brace that states, Loy Le'ish V'loy Le'isha, that if either the husband or the wife knocks out the eye or the tooth of the Sever Knani, that the Knani would not go out free. And the Gemara continues, Savru, that we thought, to Kuli Alma, Kinyan Paris, Lavka Kinyan Guftami, that certainly everyone would agree to Rish Lakish, that Kinyan Paris is not considered like Kinyan Guftami. And that is why both brices agree that since Ruvain only owns the Paris of the Ever Knani, and Kinyan Paris is Lavka Kinyan Guftami, therefore, certainly Ruvain is not the owner of this Ever Knani, and if he knocks out the tooth or the eye of the Ever Knani, the Ever Knani would not go out free. And as the Gemara continues, my lab hakamifli, and let us say the machlekes between the first brice and the second brice, as to if the Ever Knani would go out free, if Rachel knocks out his tooth or his eye, is based on the machlekes, if they hold the takanas usha or not. And as the Gemara explains, the manda amali isha, lesley takanas usha, according to the first brice that stated that avdi malug yoytze b'shem v'ayin l'isha avaloy l'ish, that since she knocked out his eye or tooth, he would go out free. That's because he holds that since she has the kinyan paris, therefore she's considered the actual owner, and therefore if she knocks out his tooth or eye, so the Ever Knani would go out free. However, manda amal loyli ish loyli isha. However, the second brisa holds that even if Rachel knocks out the tooth or the eye of the Ever Knani would not be yetzel l'cheres, and that is because this manda amal holds of the takanas usha. And even though Rachel owns the kinyan guf, and we hold the kinyan paris lavka kinyan guf dami, and therefore practically she's considered the owner of the Ever Knani. If so, if she knocks out his tooth or eye, l'cheri should go out free. However, this Tana holds the Takanas Usha, and Takanas Usha stated that we don't consider that this property belongs to the wife either. Therefore, if she knocks out his tooth or eye, the Ever Knani would not go out free. Now, Rashi's bothered that l'cheri Takanas Usha also said, and we look at the husband as the actual owner, and we don't say the concept of Kinyan Peres Lavka Kinyan Guftami, and l'cheri, if so, according to this Manda Oma, he should hold that if Ruvain knocks out the eye or tooth of the Ever Knani, the Ever Knani should go out free. However, Ayin Rashi, who states Hilkach Mishum Ishlei Nafkid Koni Lehem L'Gufayu Mamish, that even though it's true, the Rabbanon gave the koyach to the husband that he's considered the owner of the property, but it's not Mamish considered that he owns the guf of the Eved, and therefore the Eved will not go out free. And Mishum Isha Nami Loi Nafki, since this Manda Oma holds the Takanas Usha, therefore based on the woman knocking out his eye or tooth, the Ever Knani will also not go out free. The Olam Shibud Lemehevik Kinyan Guf, and Lemaisa Midrabbanon, they made it as if the owner of this Ever Knani is the husband and not the wife, and therefore certainly by the fact that the wife knocks out his eye or tooth, the Ever Knani would not go out free. And as we already mentioned, the Gemara will now have three different ways to understand these two brises in order to say that it's not necessarily raya that the machlekes in these two brises is if we hold Takanas Usha or if we don't hold of the Takanas Usha. And the Gemara states, Loi the Kuli Alma Islu Takanas Usha. The Gemara's first teretz is that really both brises hold the Takanas Usha, and Ela Kan Kredim Takana Kan La'acha Takana, the Ina Chinami, the first brise that states that if Rachel knocks out the eye or tooth of the Ever Knani goes out free, that is because it's prior to the Takanas Usha, and therefore, certainly at that point, we held like Reish Lakish that Kinyan Paris is Lavka Kinyan Guftami, and therefore Rachel is actually the owner of this Ever Knani, and if she knocks out his eye or tooth, so he'll go out free. However, the second brise was taught to us after Takanas Usha, and at that point, we don't consider the husband or the wife to be the actual owners in regard to the din of Shein V'ayin, and if either one of them would knock out the eye or tooth of this Ever Knani, the Ever Knani would not go out free. And the Gemara continues, V'yiboyisema, or I could tell you a second teretz, idi v'idi lacha takana, that both of these brises are really going if Takanas Usha, v'islu Takanas Usha, and both brises agree to Takanas Usha, and if so, l'cheret shver, that how could the first brise state that if Rachel knocks out the eye or the tooth of the Ever Knani would go out free, if l'cheret were going after Takanas Usha, and therefore it's not considered that she has a full-fledged kinyan in this Ever Knani. And the Gemara therefore explains, El Lamanda Oma Le'isha V'Le'lish, and according to the first brisa that stated that if the woman knocks out his eye or his tooth, then the Ever Knani would go out free, my taimo, and what is the reason? And the Gemara explains, Kidurava, and this Tana of the brisa holds like the Shita of Rava, the Amr Rava, as Rava states, and we continue on Daf Tzadik Amin Alef, Hegdish Chomitz V'Shichra Mafkiyim B'dei Shibud. We've seen this din many times. The basic scenario is that Reuven owes $1,000 to Shimon, and Reuven tells Shimon, my shah should be a paiteki and paitei koi, and you should be able to collect from my shah. Therefore, Shimon has a full-fledged lien against Reuven's shah. Then instead of Reuven giving the shah to Shimon, he actually says that this shah should be hegdish. And similarly, in a scenario where Reuven owes a goy $1,000, and Reuven sets aside a pile of chametz for the goy as an apoiteki, then Pesach arrives, and now this pile of chametz becomes asur b'hanah. And similarly, in a case where Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, and Reuven has an Ever Knani, tells Shimon that this Ever Knani will be an apoiteki, and you can collect your Chayiv from this Eved Knani, and then afterwards Reuven went and was Meshachar to Eved Knani. So in all those cases, although Reuven made this item Napaitiki for the lender, however, since the lender only had a lien against this item, therefore when Reuven made this Hegdash as Kedusha Guf, or it's now Erev Pesach and this Chametz becomes Asba Na, or Reuven was Meshachar to Eved Knani, the Koyach of Hegdash and the Koyach of Chametz after becomes Asba Na, and the Koyach of Shichra is Bafki Midei Shibud, the Kedusha Guf will be Chal on the Shor, the Issa Noah will be Chal on this Chametz, even though the Goy has some connection to the Chametz. And as Rashi states, that since the Chametz is in Rishus and the bias of the Yisrael, therefore it's Mechusa Gavainu, Ve'in L'Nachri Elab El Shibud, and similarly this Eved Knani will go out L'Chiris, lender will now have to go and try to collect from Reuven from another asset, and therefore the Gemara wants to compare this to our case as well. And the Gemara explains that even though we're talking about a case where it's after Takanas Usha, and therefore the husband certainly has a great Shibud against this Eved Knani, however, our Gemara explains that according to the first Braisa, since in reality Rachel is really the owner of this animal, and it's only based on Takanas Usha that we consider that Reuven has a Shibud against the Eved Knani, therefore once Rachel knocks out the eye or the tooth of the Eved Knani, so the Eved Knani will go out free and it'll be Mafkiyah Midei Shibud. And Ayin and Taisis on that Pei Tesam and Beis at the Bar Amid in Diba Maschel my time at Kedurava, where Taisis states, Hashto Mashma, the Shichru, the Shenva Ayin, Mafkiyah Midei Shibud, Kamoy Shtah Shichra, that just like Ishtah Shichra will be Mafkiyah Midei Shibud, as Rava states. Therefore, Agamara holds that the Braisa also feels that there is no difference between the method as to why the Eved Knani is going free, and even if he's going free, based on Shenva Ayin, the same din would apply and will be Mafkiyah Midei Shibud. Gemara continues that you're telling me that the first Braisa holds like the Shita Rava, and if so, Lema de Rava Tanoi, let us say that the Shita Rava is based on the Machlekes Tanoim, and Lachira can't be that Rava will actually say a Shita that will be based on the Machlekes Tanoim. And the Gemara answers, Loi, the Kule Alma Islu de Rava, that even the second Braisa agrees to the Shita Rava, the Hachal Murabon, the Shibud Rabal, and even though the din would be correct, like Rava states, but the Gea Hegdish Chametz Veshikhar, that's Bafkimid Shibud, but in our case, since Rabbanan made Takanas Usha, Rabbanan said that we consider the husband to be the full-fledged owner of the Nichsimulug, therefore we consider the Eved Knani not to belong to Rachel at all, and therefore even though Rachel will knock out the eye or the tooth of the Eved Knani will not go out L'Cheiris. And the Gemara now continues via Bayesema, or I could tell you a third teretz and a third way to understand the Machlekes between these two Brises, as the Kule Alma Les Lulad and Tanoi Takanas Usha, that according to all, there's no question that these Tanoim do not hold the Takanas Usha, and the machlekes between the two brises is relevant to the machlekes we had in the gay of Kinyan Paris, if it's considered Kinyan Guf or not. And the first brise that we saw holds like Rish Lakish that Kinyan Paris is Lavka Kinyan Guftami, and therefore, even though the husband owns the Kinyan Paris of this Eved Knani, however, he's not considered the owner, and therefore, if he knocks out the Sheno Ayin of the Eved Knani would not go out L'Cheiris. However, since the wife owns the Kinyan Guf, therefore, she's considered the legitimate owner of this Eved Knani, and if she knocks out his Shein Ba'ayin, then the Eved Knani will go out L'Cheiris. However, the second Braisa holds like Rabbi Yechon that Kinyan Peretz is Kinyan Guftami, and therefore, since the wife only owns the Kinyan Guf of the Eved Knani, so even if she knocks out the Eved Shein Ba'ayin, the Eved Knani would not go out L'Cheiris because she's not considered the legitimate owner since she only has the Kinyan Guf. And the Rishonim explained that the second Braisa also states that if the husband knocks out the Shein Ba'ayin of the Eved Knani, that the Eved Knani would not go out L'Cheiris, and even though L'Cheira, according to the second Braisa, we hold like Rabbi Yechon that Kinyan Peretz is Kinyan Guftami, and the husband has a Kinyan Peretz, and therefore, if he knocks out the Shein Ba'ayin of the Eved Knani, really the Eved Knani should go out L'Cheiris. However, the Rabbit explains that certainly, even according to Rabbi Yechon, the Kinyan Peretz is Kinyan Guf, is not mamish considered the Eved Knani of the husband, and therefore, even if the husband knocks out the Shein Ba'ayin of this Eved Knani, the Eved Knani would not go out L'Cheiris. And the Gemara continues that even though we saw machlekes between Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish, if Kinyan Peretz is Kinyan Guf, as Rabbi Yechon says, or if Kinyan Peretz is Lavka Kinyan Guf, like Reish Lakish says, however, our machlekes between these two brises is actually based on a following machlekes that we have in another brisa. And the Tanya, as we learned in the brisa, Hamoicha Avdei La'achar, if Reuven sells his Eved Knani to Shimon, and at the time of the sale, Reuven makes a tanai with Shimon, Uposakimoi, Al Menashim Shamshenu Shloshin Yoim, that I'm making the sale on condition that this Eved will work for me for the next 30 days, and therefore we look at this as if there's Kinyan Peretz and Kinyan Guf, as Reuven now owns the Kinyan Peretz for the next 30 days. However, Shimon owns the actual Guf of this Eved Knani. As we will see, there will be a following machlekes in the Braisa, and the machlekes will be based on Psukim in Pasha Mishpatim, as the Psukim state, V'chiyaka Ishes Avdo Yoyes Amasur Bashevet, Umes Ta tachas yodoi nokim yinokim, then if Reuven hits his Eved Knani or his Shivcha Knanis and they die, then Reuven will be chai misa. However, achim yoimim yimayim yamoid lo yukam ki kaspahu. However, if the Eved Knani or the Shivcha Knanis survives for 24 hours, even though the Eved Knani or the Shivcha Knanis actually dies based on this wound, the Torah is mechadish to us that the Adam will be potter from misa. And as the Torah states, ki kaspahu, because the Eved Knani or the Shivcha Knanis is considered his possession. However, as we know, this din is not applicable in a case where Reuven hits another Jew, and even if that Jew only dies many days later, but he dies based on this wound, then certainly Reuven will be chay misa. And similarly, the only time that the Torah is mechadish this din, b'degei an Eved Knani, is only if its actual owner hits the Eved Knani and kills the Eved Knani. Then if the Eved Knani didn't die within 24 hours, then the Adam will be potter from misa. However, if another person hits the Eved Knani and kills the Eved Knani, even if the Eved Knani dies after 24 hours, but he dies from that wound, then that person will definitely be chay misa. Therefore, in our case, where Reuven owns the Eved Knani for his peiros, and Shimon owns the Eved Knani for the guf of the Eved Knani, there's a full machlekes as to when and if this p'tur of Yom Yomayim, which means if the Eved Knani lives for over 24 hours, and then the Adam will be pata, will be applicable, and to which, if any of these owners, will this din be applicable to? And the Braisa tells us, Rameya Oimer, Rameya is the first shita, and he holds Rishon Yeshna B'din Yom Yomayim, that Reuven, who owns the Kinyan Peiros and has this Eved for the next 30 days, he has the din of Yom Yomayim, and if Reuven hits the Eved and the Eved doesn't die for a 24-hour period, then Reuven will be potter from Misa, Pneshu Tachta, because he's working for Reuven, and Kasava Kinyan Peiros ke Kinyan Guf Dami, and Rameya holds that Kinyan Peiros is considered Kinyan Guf, and therefore we consider Reuven to be the actual owner, and therefore he has the Ptur of Yom Yomayim, but Shimon would not have the Ptur of Yom Yomayim, because he only owns this Eved for the Guf of the Eved Knani, and he is not considered the main owner of this Eved Knani, and therefore if Shimon hits this Eved Knani and the Eved Knani dies after 24 hours, Shimon would still be Chayiv Misa. Keep in mind that although the Gemara says Mepleshu Tachtov, the actual reason for Rameya Shita is because Kasava Kinyan Peiros Kinyan Guftami, but the Gemara is bringing the Lashon of the Pasuk that it says Umis Tachas Yodai, and Rameya is just pointing out that since I hold Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Guftami, therefore we consider it that this Eved Knani died Tachas Yodai and it was under the control of Reuven. And the Braisa continues and brings a second Shita, Rabbi Huda states, Sheni Yeshna B'din Yom Yomayim, this special 24-hour dispensation only applies to Shimon Mepleshu Kasbai, because ultimately Shimon is the owner of the Guf of the Eved Knani, and even though Reuven owns the Peiros of the Eved Knani for these 30 days, however, if Reuven actually kills this Eved Knani within the 30-day period, and then the Eved Knani dies after 24 hours, then Reuven would still be Chay Misa, as Kasava, since Rabbi Huda holds Kinyan Peiros Lavka Kinyan Guftami, and he holds like Rish Lakish, that Kinyan Peiros is Lavka Kinyan Guftami, and therefore the Eved Knani is considered owned by Shimon and not by Reuven. And the Gemara now brings a third Shita, Rabbi Yesi states, Shneim Yeshnam B'din Yom Yomayim, both Reuven and Shimon would be potter if they hit the Eved during the first 30 days and then he dies after 24-hour period. Zevim Pleshu Tachtav, Reuven is potter because the Eved is considered Tachtav as he owns the Kinyan Peiros, and Zevim Pleshu Kaspai, and Shimon is also potter because ultimately he owns the Guf of the Eved. The Gemara explains the Shita of Rabbi Yesi, Misafkalei, Rabbi Yesi had a Safik, Kinyan Peiros, Ike Kinyan Guftami, Ilavka Kinyan Guftami, Misafik Dem Fashal Hakel. Since Rabbi Yesi wasn't sure if we say Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Guf or Lavka Kinyan Guftami, for when looking at either Reuven or Shimon, we have to go Lahakel, as based on the Pasuk of Shavtu Eda Vitzilu Eda, we have a cloud that Safik Dem Fashal is Lahakel. Finally, the Braisa brings the fourth Shita, Rabbi Lazar, Imer Rabbi Lazar states, Shneim Einem Bedin, Yom Yomayim, that both Reuven and Shimon do not have the din and the kula of Yom Yomayim, and therefore, if either Reuven or Shimon hit the Eved Knani within the first 30 days, and then the Eved Knani dies even after 24-hour period, that Reuven or Shimon would still be Chay Misa. And as the Gemara states, Zeh Lefi Sheina Tachtav Vezeh Lefi Sheina Kaspai, that Shimon will be Chay Misa because the Eved is not Tachtav, as he doesn't have the rights to the peiros and the right to use the Eved at this point. And Reuven will also be Chay Misa because at this point he actually doesn't own the Eved and he only has a Kinyan peiros. And the Gemara is bothered as to Pshat and Rabbi Elazar, because even Rabbi Elazar would have a suffix, we know that suffix and Fashal Hakel, and how could it be that he's Machmir in both cases? So Amar Rav, and Rav explains, my time with Rabbi Elazar was the Pshat and Rabbi Elazar, as Amar Kra, his Makar is based on the Pasuk that states, Achim Yom Yomayim Yamayim Lo Yukam Ki Kaspahu, and since the Pasuk says that he is your Kesef, Kaspah Miyuchloi, it has to be an Eved that's completely owned by this Adain, and since the Kinyan Peiros of this Eved belongs to Reuven, and the Kinyan Guf of this Eved belongs belongs to Shimon. Therefore, neither Reuven or Shimon have the right to utilize this kula of Yom Yomayim. Therefore, if within the 30-day period, either Reuven or Shimon hit this Eved, and then the Eved doesn't die within the first 24-hour period, Reuven or Shimon would still be Chai Misa, because ultimately they cause his death. And the Gemara continued, Kiman Ozla Hadam Ameima, who is the sheet of Ameima going like? As Ameima stated, Ishvi Isha Shemachu V'nichsim Lug, Loi Asav Loi Klum, even if both the husband and wife go and try to sell the Nichsim Lug, it would not be considered a valid sale. And the Gemara explains, Kiman, who is this golem like? Kirabalaza, this golem like the sheet of Rabalaza, since the husband only has a right to Kinyan Peris, and the wife only has a right to the Kinyan Guf, therefore the Nichsim Lug is not considered either one's completely, and therefore neither of them have the ability to sell this asset. And as Rashi points out, that if after they try to sell this asset, the mes echelman, if one of them dies, then the one that's left over will be able to go and take this back from the purchaser. Rashi continues, in the case of Nichsim Lug is not similar to a standard case of Shutfis, where we know that if two Shutfim go and sell an asset, that certainly they have the ability to sell that asset, and why should it be different by Nichsim Lug? And Rashi says, as over there, each one is considered full-fledged owner of both the guf as well as the peers of half of the asset, and therefore when they get together and sell the complete asset, surely it's considered a valid sale. However, the entire guf of this asset is owned by Rachel, and she doesn't have any chelik in the peers, the entire rights to the peers is owned completely by Reuven and by the husband, and he doesn't have any chelik in the guf of the Nichsim Lug. There's no part of this asset that's owned completely by either one of them, and therefore they can't effectuate a sale. It's a bit sarbiya. How could the Gemara compare the din of Rabbi Leza to the din of Nichsim Lug if the reason why Rabbi Leza said his din b'negei and Ebeknani is based on Xeris HaKosav of Ki Kasperhu, that Kasper Miyuchloi? And Tezi discusses this point, and we'll get back to this point once we complete the Gemara. And the Gemara continues, Mantana Lahod Tan Rabbanan, who is the Tan of the following Braisa, as we learned, Mishachesiv Ebe Vechetzim Menchirin. And Tezi explains the case of Chetzim Ebe Vechetzim Menchirin over here is Kagoyin Shinosloi Koldamov, that the Ebeknani already paid for his entire value. And the only thing holding back the Avaknani from being able to marry Baskarin is only the receipt of a get shichra. Similarly, the Brisa states, if there is an Eved that belongs to two Shufim, and as Taiz points out, it's not a standard case of Shufis, but one of the Shufim owns the Eved for its Paris, and one of the Shufim owned the Eved for the Gufa Eved. In these cases, in Yetzim, Brashi Avarim, Shein and Chazin, these Avodim would not have the din that a Yetzim B'Shem V'Ayin, and they would not be able to go out if the owner cuts off any of the Chof Dalad Rashi Avarim. Once again, the Gemara states, Amli Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi, Rav Mordechai says to Rav Ashi, Hachi Amr Mishmei Du Rava, that this was stated over in the name of Rava, Rav Elazar, he did go and coin to Shita Rav Elazar, as Mila Amr Rav Elazar, Kasper Miyachloi, that just like Benegei the Kula of Yom Yomayim, Rav Elazar learned that since the Pasuk says, Ki Kasper Yehu, therefore we learn that the only way that we have this Kula is only if the entire Eved belongs to this Adon. Otherwise, if this Eved Knani dies after 24 hours, the Adon would still be Chai Misa, Hachinami Avdeh Miyachloi. Therefore, since Benegei Din of Shein and Ayin and Benegei Din of the Choftal Rashi Avarim, the Pasuk states in Pash Mishpatim, V'chiyaka Ishes in Avdei Oyes in Amosai, V'shichaso L'chofshi Yishachenu Tachas Einoi, V'mshen Avdei Yishen Amosai Yapel L'chofshi Yishachenu Tachas Shidoi. Since the Pasuk uses the term of in Avdei, therefore we learn out Avdei HaMiyuchadoi, the only time that Eved Knani will go out free through Shein V'Ayin is only when the Eved is Miyuchad to this Adain. Since this Eved that is owned by Shufim, Shimon owns his Peris and Shimon owns his Guf, therefore it's not considered Avdei HaMiyuchadoi. If either one would knock out his Shein V'Ayin, the Eved Knani would not go out L'Chiris. And similarly in the case of Chetzi Eved V'Chetzi Menchirin, where the only thing that this Eved needs in order to go out L'Chiris is a Shtah Shichra, in that case also we don't consider him the complete Adain of this Eved. If Reuven would knock out the Shein V'Ayin of this Eved Knani, the Eved Knani would not go out free until he receives an actual Shtah Shichra. As we mentioned, we'll get back to this point, and let's see Taisa's deal of Maskel Kaman Ozal Hodam Amimo. And Taisa says, Nira de Mechir Yalv Meshichra, that the Din Benegei Mechira we learn out from the Din of Shichra. Shichra is Kein Mechira, therefore, since Benegei having the Eved go out free, we learned out is a Din of Avdei Miyuchadoi, therefore, Benegei Nichsim Lug, if you try to sell Nichsim Lug and you don't own the complete asset, then it would also not be a valid sale. And Taisa explains that we can't learn the Din of Mechira from the Din of Yom Yomayim, as if the Gemara felt that we could learn the Din of Mechira from the Din of Yom Yomayim, why would the Gemara have been a gay the din of Shein V'Ayin need a new pasuk according to Rabbi Leza to teach us Avdei HaMiyuchadoi? From this thesis, we can now understand why is it that if someone someone sells something that he doesn't own the complete asset, either only owns the guf or he only owns the peiros, then neither one of them could effectuate the sale. And even if they would try to sell the asset together, since Rabbi Eliezer actually brought this pasuk b'negei and eved knani, so maybe this din is only a chiddush b'negei and eved knani. And how do we know that this is still applicable even b'negei or standard case of nechsim lug? We are made mistaken ish v'isha shemachar b'nechsim lug la'asav loy klum. Continue with the new mishnah, and this mishnah will discuss the concept of beishes and will not be discussing the other badvarm and will not be discussing nezek tsar ripui or sheves. The mishnah states that the kele chaver nois loy sela Rabbi Yehuda imem mishum abeisad lili mana. Rashi has two pshatim as to what tekele chaver means. Rashi's first pshat is he koal oznoi that Reuven hits Shimon on his ear and therefore he causes embarrassment. And lishna achirna tekeya mamish. Another pshat is that the lashon tekeya it mamish means that he blew into his ear and he embarrassed Shimon. And certainly if Reuven damaged Shimon in the process, then certainly Reuven is going to be chayiv to pay Shimon for nezek tsar ripui and sheves. However, our mishnah is focused on boishes and it says that if you embarrass Shimon in this scenario, you would have to pay him a seller. And Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yisaglili, you have to pay a mana. We know a seller is 4 zuz, and a mana is 100 zuz, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is machmer over the Tanakama by 25 times, as Lafi the Tanakama, you pay only one seller, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, Reuven would have to pay 25 seller to Shimon. Mishnah continues, Satrai, if Reuven slaps Shimon on the face, nice lemasayim zuz, then the chiyah for Boishes is to pay 200 zuz. La'acha yodai, nice le'abob me zuz, and if Reuven hits Shimon with the back of his hand, then that's even more embarrassing, and therefore Reuven would have to pay Shimon 400 zuz. And Rashi says, Satra Alechi, that you slapped him on his cheek. And the Mishnah now lists five other items. Tsarim ba'oznai, talish b'sayre, rokok v'giya b'yrekai, hevet talisim emenu, or paru reisha isha b'shuk. And in all these cases, noisin abamei zuz, you have to pay 400 zuz for a b'ishis. Rashi once again brings two tzvim pshatim as to tsarim ba'oznai. The first pshat is, Moshach, he pulls his ear. And then Rashi says, u'b'chayr shemati, lashim paigim, it means that he cut off a little bit of his ear. Talish b'sayre means that Reuven pulled Shimon by his hair, or he pulled Shimon's hair. Number three, rokok v'giya b'yrekai, means that Reuven spit at Shimon, and the spit actually reached Shimon and hit him on his body, and did hit him on his clothes. And as the Gemara will say, that if he actually spits on Shimon's clothes, he would not be chayif for b'yishis. Number four, hevet talisa mimenu, Reuven embarrassed Shimon by pulling off his outer beged from Shimon. Number five, paru reisha isha b'shuk, that he pulled off the covering of a woman's hair while she was in the marketplace. In all of these cases, the chiyah for b'yishis is 400 zuz. And we continue on daf tzadik amud beis, and the Mishnah continues, zeh klal hakol lefi chvodoi. Although we just mentioned different amounts that you have to pay for b'yishis, however, you have to look at each individual and see if they're rich or poor, or if they're adam mechubed or not an adam mechubed, and that would actually determine the final amount that you have to pay for b'yishis. The Gemara will discuss if this is telling us a kula, and although we just mentioned various amounts they have to pay for b'yishis, that is only talking about a person that's an usher. However, if the person's an ani, you would pay less, or if there's actually a chumrah, and the Gemara is telling us that all the amounts that we mentioned on Amin Aleph were only for an ani, but if the person is an usher, his busha would actually be even more, and therefore the mazik would have to pay more for baishes. And the Mishnah continues, Am Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is chaylik on this klal that are called fichvaydai, and he holds that all the dinim of baishes are equal for all types of Jews, and afil anim should be Yisrael, even a poor person in Klai Yisrael, royin oisam ki'ilu heim b'nei charin, we look at him as if he was a wealthy person, shiyadim and chaseim, and right now he doesn't have money, shehem b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, as ultimately all Jews are still b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and therefore the chiyuv of b'yishis to all Jews would be the same. And the Gemara tells us a story, that there was a story where Reuven took off the hair covering of a woman in the shuk, and bustled from Rabbi Kiva, this woman brought Reuven in front of Rabbi Kiva for a din Torah, and Rabbi Kiva was mechayev to pay her 400 zuz, like the Mishnah stated. After receiving this psak, Amaloi, so Reuven said to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi, ten lizman, can't pay right now, I want some time in order to make payment. And Rabbi Kiva listened to him and let him have some time. Mazik really wanted to use the time in order to be able to prove that this woman really didn't have busha from the fact that he removed her hair covering and exposed her hair, and therefore, Shamra, Imedesal Pesach Chatzera, he waited for her, and then she came to the opening of a chatzah, and Vishibes HaKabafanel, Uboik Isa Shemen, then he broke a jug of oil in front of her, had the value of an Isa of Shemen in this jug, and when this lady saw the oil lying on the floor, Gilses Reisha, so she removed her head covering, V'haisa Metapechas U'manachas Yadar Reisha, she put her hand into the oil, she had oil on her hand, and then she rubbed it into her hair. Reuven planned for this, and he had Edom waiting there, Ubalufner Rabbi Kiva, and they all came to Rabbi Kiva, and Amaloi and Reuven said to Rabbi Kiva, Lazu ani noisin abba meyazuz, how can you be mechayev me to give her 400 zuz if lemaisa we see that she doesn't have busha to uncover here barabim? And Amaloi and Rabbi Kiva responded to him, lo yamata klum, that your taina is not a valid taina. Rabbi Kiva continued and explained with two mishalim. Number one, hachayu ba'atzmai aval pishein rishay pata, sachayim shechavlu b'chayavim, that even though we know that if someone damages themselves, even though it's not mutter to go and damage yourself, however, you're still potter and you don't have to pay any damages. However, even so, if someone damages a person, they're going to be chayiv. Similarly, if someone cuts down his young trees, and even though it's also to cut down fruit-bearing trees, however, he's still going to be potter and he doesn't have any financial obligation, and even so, others are going to be chayiv to pay if they cut down his trees. And similarly over here, even though in Chinami was also part to remove her head covering B'Shusha Rabim, Lamaisa, she was able to make that choice to embarrass herself in public. However, Rabbi Kiva says, Achayim Chayavin, even so, since you removed her hair covering in public, you will be chayav to pay for her B'Shus. And the Gemara begins and discusses the first din that we discussed in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah stated that the Kehel Chaver in Nois Nisela, however, Behuda Im Mishum Abesek Livi, Mana, that you pay a Mana. And the Gemara is, Yibayilu, we had the following Shaila, Mana Tzuri Tzan, when Rabbi Yehuda stated you have to pay a Mana, does he mean a Mana Tzuri, which is a more expensive Mana? And as Rashi says, Chafei Slaim is Kuf Zuz, that 25 Slaim equal 100 Zuz. Did Rabbi Huda mean a Mana Medina Tan, that he's referring to a Mana Medina, and the Mana Medina was 1/8 of the value of a Mana Tzuri? And the Gemara states, Tashma, bring a Raya, the Hu Gavre, the Takalil Chavre, there was a person that blew in the ear of his friend, or he hit the ear of his friend, and he caused him embarrassment, and Asal Kameh, Rabbi Huda Nasiya, and then he came for a Din Tire in front of Rabbi Huda Nasiya. Amalei, Rabbi Huda Nasiya stated, Ha'ana, Harabi Seit Lili, and the Gemara will explain what this actually means, but ultimately he paskin havle manatsuri, that because of the busha that you caused him, and you have to pay him a full manatsuri, shmamina, manatsuri tzan shmamina. Therefore, in our Mishnah, when Rabbi Huda Imeh, Meshumer Beseh Glili, mana, it was certainly requiring the mazik to pay a manatsuri and not a mana medina. The Gemara now asks, my ha'ana hara beseh glili, what did Rabbi Huda Nasiya mean when he said that ha'ana hara beseh glili? And of course, the Gemara can't explain that when Rabbi Huda Nasiya stated ha'ana hara beseh glili, that he was saying that both myself and Rabbi Beseh Glili witnessed Reuven embarrassing Shimon. This story in the Gemara is not from Yehuda Nasi, who was a contemporary of Rabbi Beseh Glili, and it's talking about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's grandchild, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was of course an Amira and was not a contemporary of Rabbi Beseh Glili. And therefore the Gemara asks, then what does Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya mean when he says Ha'ana Ha'Rabbi Beseh Glili? And the Gemara states, Ilei Mahachi Kamalei, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya meant to say Ha'ana D'Chazisech, and here I am, and I actually personally witnessed that the Mazik was Takalei L'Chavrei and causes embarrassment to his friend, and therefore Zil Havle Monatsuri. The Gemara is Lamimur de Eid Nasadayin. If this would be the case, then it would come out that Rabbi Yehuda was passing based on his own Edus. Certainly, Rabbi Yehuda holds that in Eid Nasadayin, because Batani we learned to the Braisa, Sanhedrin Shiro Echad Shaharg Sanefesh, if the Sanhedrin were walking and they saw Reuven kill Shimon, so the Braisa brings a Machlekes, Mixasin Nasu Eidim, Mixasin Nasu Dayonim, Div Reb Tafin. Reb Tafin holds that part of the Sanhedrin become the Edim and they testify in front of the rest of the Dayanim. All you need for Din and Fashis is a Bezin of Chav Gimel, and there was the Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph, and therefore certainly we have enough Dayanim to go and pass in this Din, but we need other Edim to testify in front of the Dayanim, and certainly we see Lefir Abtafin that the Dayan himself can say that since I saw and I witnessed Reuven killing Shimon, therefore I could pass in even without having Edim. And Rabbi Kiva, I mean, Rabbi Kiva says, Kulam Edim Haim Ve'in Eid Nasadayin, that all of them are potentially Edim. Therefore, none of the members of the Sanhedrin that saw Reuven kill Shimon would actually be allowed to be Dayanim, and they can't join this Din Torah. And the Gemara continues that certainly Lefi Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yehuda couldn't have been a Dayan in this case because he was also an aid. And even according to Rabbi Tafin, Ad Kan Lekam Rabbi Tafin, El De Miksasa Nasir Edim, Miksasa Nasir Dayanim, that Rabbi Tafin only said that some of the Sanhedrin could become Edim. Any members of the Sanhedrin that did not become actual Edim and did not actually testify, they could actually act as Dayanim in this case. And the Gemara continues, Aval Eid Nasadayin Loi Kama. However, certainly Rabbi Tafin didn't hold that if the Eid testifies, he could also be a Dayan in the same case. If so, we can't explain that Rabbi Yehuda stated Ha'ana, he meant to say that I witnessed this act and I saw that you hit your friend on his ear, and therefore I'm also going to paskin that you hired to pay Matatsuri as Lachira in Eid Nasadayin. And the Gemara answers that really Rabbi Yehuda holds that Eid Nasadayin, and even though Rabbi Yehuda witnessed Reuven hitting Shimon, he actually testified regarding this this fact, he could still paskin based on his testimony. The Gemara explains that ki tanya hi, and when did Rav Tafrin state that inei dasadayin higoyin shiro b'layla deloy b'nei l'mevedinu? That is only because the Sanhedrin actually saw Reuven killing Shimon at night, and therefore they weren't at that point considered Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin can't paskin at night, and therefore when the morning comes, there is a requirement for Edom to testify, then for Bezdin to paskin. And that case we hold that the Eid that testified cannot also be the Dayan. As Rashi states, Shiro Belailu, Lumachus Kishabon Lodun, Ain Dunan, El Al Pishmua, Lefikach Tzarkle Mixasal Hayed. Therefore, it is a requirement that some of these Sanhedrin will be testifying in Bezdin. Then Ain Sham El Gimel, Tzarkle Hishvachim, Lahayed Befneim. And if there were only three of the Sanhedrin that were walking and they saw Reuven kill Shimon, then two of them will become the Edom. Then, as Rashi states, Tzarkle Hishvachim, Lahayed Befneim. And then you'll have to have two other members of Bezdin that will now join with the third Dayan. They will be able to accept the Edus from the other two Dayanim that are now serving as Edim. However, as Rashi continues, however, if the Sanhedrin actually saw Reuven kill Shimon during the daytime, then according to Rav Tafrin, the Bezdin actually could paskin based on the fact that he saw Reuven kill Shimon. They would not need independent Edim based on the cloud of Loite Shmir Gedalim Riyah, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rav Tafrin Sfir Lei. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya actually saw Reuven hit Shimon during the daytime, and he holds like Rav Tafrin, and therefore there wasn't a problem of Edim Nasadayin, as there was no requirement to have Edim in this case at all, as Rabbi Yehuda was able to paskin based on his own Riyah and the cloud that Loite Shmir Gedalim Riyah. When we continue, let's point out two different ideas. First of all, it's Sarach Bia, as it seems from this Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda was the only aid, and there was no other witness that saw Reuven hit Shimon on his ear. Potentially, we could say that there was another witness, and the reason why the Gemara doesn't mention it is because of the covet of Rabbi Yehuda, as we see a similar idea in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. Number two, from Rashi, it seems that Dina Nefashis is possible to be judged with only three Dayanim, as Rashi only talks about three Dayanim, and L'chayra, we need a Bezdin of Chaf Gimel. In the Chedush HaRan in Masechtas Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Zayin Beis, he actually explains that according to Rashi, that even though you need a Bezdin of Chaf Gimel in order to paskin Dina Nefashis, however, in order to be Makabel Edis for Dina Nefashis, all you need is a Bezdin of Gimel, and then that Bezdin of Gimel go and repeat the Edis in front of the Bezdin of Chaf Gimel, and then they will be able to make the psak based on that Haggadah Edis. And certainly, this is a very difficult idea to understand. And finally, Ayin and Taisis at the bottom of the Amid in Diba Maskel Chagoyin Shuru B'Layla, Perish Bekuntris, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Krab Tafin Svirlei, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi goes like the Shita Rab Tafin, and Zok Taisis Uchina Perishkein, Tafil Krab Kiva Nicha, the Gum Medina Fashis, Kidapurash Yilel, Ayin Sham. The Gemara continues, V'Iba Yisema, and if you want, I could tell you another Teretz that when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, Ha'ana, Harabi Seglili, the following was what he meant to say, as Hachik Amalei, Ha'ana, the Sphere Lik Rabbi Seglili, I am here and I hold like Rabbi Seglili, the Ammanatsuri. Rabbi Seglili is of the opinion that if someone embarrasses someone by being Tekei Lechaberi, they have to pay a Manatsuri, V'Hasadi de Masadibach, and there are also Edom that testify that you actually were Tekei Lechaberi, and therefore Zil Havle Manatsuri, go and pay your friend a Manatsuri. And the Gemara continues, Besav Rabbi Kiva, the Ene Nasadayin, how can you tell me Rabbi Kiva holds that an aid cannot be a Dayin, V'Tanya, but we learn to the Braisa that the Pasuk and Pash Mishpatim states, V'Chiruven Anosha, V'Hika Ishas Re'eu, Be'evan Oy Be'egreif, V'Lo Yomos, V'Nafel Mishkov. And there's a machlekes between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Kiva, and Shimon HaTimni, Oymer, Shimon HaTimni stated, Ma Egreif Miyuchat Shemas La'ido Ula Edim, like when the Torah gives an example of a fist, that is something that can be examined by the Sanhedrin as well as Edim, Avkol Shemas La'ido La'idim, and therefore the only time that a person will be chayiv and the Edim will be valid is only in a case where both the Edim as well as the Bezdin are able to all examine the weapon. Shimon Timni continues, Pratlich Shiyotzu Metachas Yad Edim. However, if something is lost by the Edim, and although the Edim actually saw the item, however, Bezdin did not see it. And as Rashi says, Afal Pishru Edim Potter to be in the Umdu of Bezdin. The Braisa continues, Amalei Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva responded to Shimon Timni, V'chi Beflei Bezdin Ko, Shiyoidin Kamei Ko, V'almahu Ko, Mal Shoykoi Oit Sipa Nafshoi. How can you say there's a requirement to bring the actual weapon in front of Bezdin if Lamaisa, we don't know all the details that happen, and we always have to rely on Edim? And as Rabbi Kiva points out, that certainly Reuven did not hit Shimon in front of Bezdin, therefore Bezdin doesn't know how many times Reuven hit Shimon. Bezdin doesn't either have personal knowledge as to where Reuven hit Shimon. There is no requirement that Bezdin has first-hand knowledge that Reuven hit Shimon on his calf or on his heart. And also, Reuven pushes Shimon off of a rooftop or off the top of a tower or the top of a mansion or mace, and Shimon dies. Bezdin, Do we say that Bezin has to go to the mansion or the tower, or should the Bira be brought to Bezin? Of course, that's not a requirement, and Bezin still can paskin. And even if you're going to say that Bezin actually has to go and see the Bira, but in Mafla Chayzer Baina, do you think that if the tower falls down, then Reuben will not be Chayim Misa? And the only way that Reuben will be Chayim Misa is if they rebuild the tower and Bezin goes and inspects the tower. As Rashi states, Bezin Hechlin Sabira, Bitmia, Vichiatriach Akasa Bezin, Lotzis Melishka, Velira Saisa, Oyim Lafla Bira, Kaidim Shuru Bezin, Klum Matsuch Akasa, Lachs of Livnais, Laharis, Gavoya, Lebezin, in order to show the height of this tower to Bezin, Ella Edom Samchinan, certainly we're always going to be Samach and Edom, Vikimindaro Edom Samchinan, Dusayu, Shaim Lanu Kachva Kachoya, and therefore we rely on Edom to tell us the details of how Reuben killed Shimon, Loi Beinon Masal Eda El Edom, and there's no requirement that the facts should be known firsthand by the Bezin, and the only requirement that the Edom should have firsthand knowledge. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva argues on Shimon HaTimni, and he learns that since the Pasuk says, V'hika Ish Esreel Be'evet Noi Be'egreif, and the Pasuk gives an example of a fist, therefore we learn out, Elamah Egreif Miyuchat Shu Masal Edom, that just like a fist is something that the Edom could inspect, Af Kol Shu Masal Edom, also you have to have something that the Edom could inspect, but there's no requirement for Bezin to inspect it, Prat Lech Shiyotza Evan Metachas Yadi Shamaka, that Pato, that if the Evan would be thrown from Reuven's hand and Edom never could inspect that stone as they can't find the weapon, then in that case Reuven would be Pato. Let's remember that the Gemara brought this Raya in order to bring a Raya that Rabbi Kiva holds that Eid Nasadayin, and the Gemara now brings a Raya as how can you tell me that Rabbi Kiva holds in Eid Nasadayin? Ketani Mias in this price, so we stated Amalei Rabbi Kiva stated to Shimon HaTimni V'chi B'fnei Bezin Yeko Shiyodin Kamer Yeko, the Mashmais of Rabbi Kiva is Haliko B'fneim, if Reuven would have hit Shimon in front of the Bezin, Eid Nasadayin, though these judges actually witnessed the actual act, they could still be the Dayanim in this case, and L'chay Rabbi Kiva said that in Eid Nasadayin, and that would not be the din. And the Gemara answers L'dvar Rabbi Shimon HaTimni Kama V'leilei Svirlei, that Rabbi Kiva was actually responding to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, and he was saying that even if you would hold that Eid Nasadayin, still it doesn't make sense that the Dayanim would have to have first-hand knowledge regarding every detail. Therefore, he used this Lashon, but in a Chenami, Rabbi Kiva would hold if the Dayanim actually saw Reuven kill Shimon, since they witnessed this act, therefore they can't act as Dayanim at all, as Rabbi Kiva holds in a Nasadayin, and we will stop over here.